we lift our praises in adoration, in adoration, here in your splendor, we now surrender. In adoration, 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 adoration to you, adoration, adoration. Adoration, adoration to you. Adoration, adoration, adoration to you.
You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
All things are possible, this is His word. Receive it, it is written for you. Believe in His promises, God can.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Please join us at 201 Southwest Flagler Avenue, Stuart at 9:30 a.m. each Sunday morning. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Abundant Life Ministries is no longer meeting at the Flagler Center. We are now having services every Sunday morning at 9:30 at the Martin County Realtors Auditorium, located in Wedgewood Common Shopping Center, that is directly off of Indian Street on the corner of Indian and US 1, address 3204-A, Southeast Federal Highway in Stuart, Florida, 34997. Again, 3204-A, Southeast Federal Highway, Stuart, Florida, 34997. We're now going to go to a message entitled Fasting in the Christmas Story, Part 1. God bless you.
Well, as you know, it's a new year. This last year, along with Tim and Maria, many of us also faced the attack of the enemy. But praise God, we're still here, right? And God is not finished with the church yet, and God is not finished with you yet. And sometimes I've had people ask me to pray that the Lord would just take them home because there was nothing they could do And I have always said, no, I'm not going to pray that God will take you home. God will take you home when He's ready to take you home. And if you're not home in heaven yet, it's because you are still at work at your home here. So don't quit so early. So God is not finished with us yet. In fact, I want to remind those who are a little younger at heart, like I am. I mean, I remember for a lot of years I was the kid and I was blessed to have super saints standing around me from the time we established this ministry. And many times double my age. In the early days, some were triple my age. Now those super saints that are among us, you're going to have to be really super to double or triple my age now. So go try that on for size. But for all the super saints that have stood with us over the years, we recognize that God has been getting us ready our whole life for right now. Right now. And I have seen with my eyes, and many of you in this congregation, that many after their retirement from their life occupation have had a more significant impact on people's lives and on the kingdom of God in those years after retiring from the occupation than in all the years prior. Because God has been getting you ready. God has taken you through valleys. God has taken you over mountains. God has taken you through sickness and disease. God has taken you through a direct on attacks of the devil. Some of you have seen the demons. You've been confronted by them. All of you have heard the demons lying to you, screaming at you. You have grown. You have grown up. You are mature. And the Lord has prepared us for this very day. Think about it. The prophets looked forward and longed to be in this day. Do not look backwards and say, I'm a backward prophet. I look backwards to see the good old days. No. Anyone that's being led by the Spirit of God is not going to be distracted by the greatest of God's moves in the past, because what God is planning and doing right now far supersedes what has ever been seen in all of history. And so I encourage you this morning to remember these verses from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. These are the verses the Father put in my heart and said, all year in the body of Christ, we need to do this. Always, verse 16, be joyful. When? Always. Always be joyful. Keep on praying. When? Continually. Always. No matter what happens, always be thankful. Prayerful. Joyful. Thankful. Those three things. Regardless of what you face, no matter what happens, can we just be big enough to say to one another, I give you permission if you catch me not being prayerful, joyful, and thankful, call me on it. I mean, I'd rather have you call me on it than for the devil to call me on it. I'd rather have you say, Pastor, you're not being very joyful right now. And since you're not being very joyful, that might be an indication that you're not being very thankful. And if you're not joyful and you're not thankful, then that might be an indication that you're not very prayerful. Pastor, you need to get with the program. Could I pray with you? Could we be big enough to say, I won't, so help me God, get my feelings hurt. I won't develop an attitude, unrighteous attitude. I will allow God to speak through my brothers and sisters so I can grow forward in this coming year. Amen? Well, for the two of you that said no, a lot more than two said amen. Any of you ever heard of Thomas Chalmers? I think a lot of you have. He said something like this about years. He talks about, you know, how years pass and they go very quickly, and pulls from Job and other passages. Psalms, he pulls into his devotional that man is like a breath. His days are like the fleeting shadow, and then it's gone. Psalm 144. He mentions in this devotional how transient life is, and yet that most people do not take to heart how fragile life is and how short it is. But should we not in the body of Christ be different? Should we not actually consider our days, consider our Maker, and consider the fact that God is the one who has given you and me this day? I mean, unbelievers, I understand they may not, if you're not born again, you may not take the time to give God any praise that today is a day God has given me. But I believe you and me, can we not say, Father, I acknowledge that this day is a gift from you. It's not an accident. It's part of God's divine plan. He makes this statement, and this is what I wanted to share as we get ready to look at feasting on the Lord for the days that are ahead of us. He says, in a few days our heads will be laid on the cold grave. The green turf will cover us. And the children who come after us will tread upon our graves. Now listen to what he says. They will weep for us, weep for us a few days. They will talk of us for a few months. They will remember us a few years, and then our memory, to most, will simply disappear from the face of the earth. But that's not the end, is it? Because we will all live forever. And so if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the Father never forgets. He always remembers. And you are here on His assignment. So may we understand what that is and fulfill it. Amen. All right. We're going to go to Mark's Gospel chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. In Mark chapter 2, we find this discussion taking place in verse 18. John's disciples and the Pharisees sometimes fasted. Now you knew that, didn't you? Say, I knew that. I knew. Yeah. John's disciples, not just the Pharisees. Because sometimes we just think about the Pharisees. Oh, they were the religious ones that stood in the marketplace wanting to market themselves, right? Jesus, right? And of course, praying could be marketed as a simply a religious action. Giving can be a religious thing. The Pharisees knew how to do that. And fasting, all of those things Jesus would address. But here the discussion is John's disciples and the Pharisees. Now John's disciples were serious and sincere. And they were seeking God. How do we know that? Because he preached a message of repentance. Wouldn't that be great to have a message of repentance preached again? I mean, I've even heard some ministers say, oh, I'm not going to preach that kind of stuff. That, You know, some people might leave the church. Maybe some might get into heaven if we preach repentance, perhaps. John's message was a message of repentance, and he said something and practiced something rather powerful. He said, don't come into this baptism water thinking it's going to make any difference if you don't plan on having a change of direction when you leave. That's what repentance is, isn't it? Message of repentance. And of course, the crowds would come around, right? But his disciples, they fast. Pharisees fast. And one day some people came to Jesus and asked, why do John's disciples and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples don't fast? Sounds like somebody was watching, Ruddy. Somebody was watching, right? I mean, his disciples, he had 12 disciples, others were following. And the religious fasting leaders, the Pharisees, Sadducees, they're watching what's going on. And they're recognizing that Jesus' disciples were not simply religious on the outside. They were different. And so they're asking this question. Maybe the person asking the question, maybe those asking the question, maybe they're sincere. And maybe they truly want to know, what is the difference between your followers and John's followers? And Jesus gave them this little account. Verse 19. Do wedding guests fast while celebrating with the groom? Question mark. What's the answer? No. Let me start over again so you learn how this works. Jesus is replying, do wedding guests fast while celebrating with the groom? What's the answer? No, of course not. Now, maybe you don't know that, but all of them knew that. That's why he asked that question. No, they can't fast while they are with the groom. But someday, he will be taken from them. Who? The groom. Who is Jesus talking about? Himself. So he's saying, I'm with my followers today, so they're not fasting today because I'm with them. But someday, say someday, someday he will be taken from them. Did that day happen? It did happen, right? There was a day when Jesus was taken from them, right? And so, guess which day we live in? We live in that day. The day when he's been taken, right? But he's coming again. Amen? Okay. So someday he will be taken away from them. Then they will fast. Huh? Then they will fast. Who? The followers of Jesus. He's not here, sunshine. No. So these are the days when he's been taken, and this is the then we will fast days. And everybody smiled and said, hallelujah, I can't wait. It's almost lunchtime. And I know Esther's already excited because she said we have a few days. If you're on the 21-day fast, you have a few days. So the 21-day fast will start on which day, Tim? The 9th. The 9th. But I'm blessed to be on a 40-day fast. So my fast has already started. However, on the Daniel fast, it's not like you're not eating. There's a lot of stuff you can eat. And so there are things that we can eat on this fast that we're going to be on. Not asking any of you to go without water and without food for 21 days or 7 days or 40 days. In fact, I'm not going to ask any of you to go on any fast. I'm going to ask you to ask God if now are the days for the church to fast. Because it doesn't matter what I have to say. Because you can go, that's Pastor Jonathan. Let him do what he wants to. He can stand to lose some weight. It'll be good for him. And he'll be all the better in the long run. So no loss, right? But I'm not asking you to fast. I'm asking you to ask God if God wants you to fast as you start this year. Some years ago, my father called me and asked me if I would consider buying a little cabin up in the North Carolina mountains, and I said no. He said, well, would you buy a lot? Dad had lots for sale. Will you buy a lot? No. He said, I'll make the price really low for you. I said, no. He said, you can make very small payments. I said, no. He said, it doesn't matter when you get it paid for. I said, no. God's called me to Stewart, to Martin County, to the Treasure Coast, and I don't have time and I don't have money to do anything in North Carolina. And then Dad said something to me. This was sort of like Sue Renard years ago. My father said, son, there's this place in foreclosure. Would you pray about this place? I wanted to say, no. That's what I wanted to say. And I said the same thing to Dad. Dad, I don't have the time. I don't have the money to do anything in North Carolina. Dad said, will you pray about it? Sue Renard, years ago, she came and said, I thought I was so busy I didn't have time to do anything else. And Sue said, I would like you to pray about something, Pastor. I said, what's that? Would you pray about being on the board of Aglow? What does that involve? Well, whenever we need help, we're going to call you. And, you know, when we are making decisions and we want to promote things in the community and we have annual events, we're going to call on you, and we want you, along with some other pastors, to pray with us. Will you pray about it? Well, I didn't know how to tell Sue Renard I wouldn't pray about it. So I said, yeah, I'll pray about it. Guess what happened? I ended up on the Aglow board for a lot of years. And finally, they found somebody that could do a better job and let me go. And I said, thank you, Jesus. No, I love the Women's Aglow. I just remember the days of glory. I pray for glory days to be restored again. Amen? I remember when hundreds went to Aglow. Hundreds went to Full Gospel. Any of you old enough to remember those days when the Holy Spirit was moving all over? It was powerful. And it was exciting to be involved. And the Holy Spirit's moving again. He's on the move again. So let's be a part of that. And Dad said, would you pray? And guess what? That's where my wife and I go. We now have a little cabin up on the side of the mountain because Dad said, pray about it. And he said, all I want you to pray about is if God wants you to come to the auction. And I said, well, you have to have money to go to the auction. So I found out what was owed on it, and I went to the auction. I thought, surely some people are going to be here, and there's a banker, and there's an attorney, and I'm standing there. He says, anybody here to bid? And I bid what was owed and $20 more. I was feeling generous, and we ended up with a cabin on the side of the mountain. You just never know when you start praying. Why am I saying that? Because some of us have not diligently sought God in some of the areas of our life to the point where we have heard what God has to say. And maybe, my wife has said this to me before, have you prayed about this? But the problem is, if my wife says that, what she's saying is, I'm pretty sure you haven't. I mean, if she says that, because that's female anointed discernment. Any of you ladies have that? All the ladies said amen. Amen. And all the guys said, ouch, ouch, oh me. But you ladies, you see things, you discern things, you understand things, and then God lets you be married to a knothead like me. You know, yours probably isn't, but my wife is married to a knothead, a blockhead. And so when she says, have you prayed about this? I know what she's saying. What I hear sounds too much like Jonathan and not enough like God. Did you hear that? You think that ever happens? What I'm hearing sounds too much like the flesh and not enough like the Spirit. So Jesus said this. He said, someday he'll be taken away and then they will fast. I'm not finished with Christmas yet. I'm going to take you back to the Christmas story. Let's go to Luke chapter 2. Have you ever studied fasting in the Christmas story? No, I've been too busy eating Judy's pound cake and those round cookies with sugar on them. We don't have messages on fasting at Christmas when we celebrate Christmas, right? Wrong. It's in the middle of the story. Right here it is. Right here it is. How could I miss it, Jasmine? I mean, a guy that loves to feast. I mean, fast. No, feast so much. Pray for me. This is not an easy discussion because I'm going to be practicing it. My flesh hates fasting. Totally. Totally. My flesh does not enjoy it. Now, I'm going to begin with verse 25 so you get the context. There was a man named Simeon who lived in Jerusalem. Have you heard of Simeon? Yay, Simeon. How many of you look forward to seeing Simeon when you get to glory? He's going to be there. Simeon's going to be there. He was, number one, he's a righteous man. Number two, he's righteous, he's devout. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And that was even before Pentecost. Hallelujah. And he eagerly expected the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. Now, where did that expectation come from? Say, the Holy Spirit. That's a good answer. Or maybe you could say, from the prophet's words. That would be a good answer. And so, here is Simeon. He is expectant, eagerly expecting the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. Could I ask you why? There's one more big why. Look at verse 26. The Holy Spirit had revealed to him. Oh, Simeon's another one of those guys. He hears things. He thinks God talks to him. Are you one of those people that think God's still talking? Simeon was one of those people who was listening. Do you know what the book of Revelation says over and over? Let him who has ears hear, not just with this ear, but in the spirit man, ears to hear. The Holy Spirit had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Hallelujah. So he's expectant because he had a personal rhema word before there was a rhema to talk about it. Rhema word, the Lord's Messiah. That very day, not just did the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, reveal that, but on the very day that Mary and Joseph and Yeshua are going to go to the temple, the very day at the exact specific time, in the exact perfect place. There, the temple's full of people. And so if you showed up there on the right day, you might miss somebody if you weren't there at the right time. You show up on the right day, the right time, you might miss somebody unless you're in the right place. But the Holy Spirit led him there at exactly the right day, time, and place. So that day, the Spirit led him to the temple. Now, I don't want to get off in the weeds too far, but let me just suggest, if the Holy Spirit knew how to lead Simeon, maybe he still knows how to lead you. Maybe. If we have ears to hear, right? So, Holy Spirit revealed,